Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
And for on the show, Hughley and Clint Sterner today, Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts, the third former NFL wide receiver. So the Big 3 at 3, man, what would top this list outside of the news reported today by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic that the Astros have interest in Yankee free agent infielder DJ LeMahieu in the event that if they were to trade Carlos Correa this winter? Let me read you a short excerpt from Rosenthal's story earlier today. Quote, any Astros interest in LeMahieu, meanwhile, would hinge on whether the team can trade shortstop Carlos Correa, enabling Bregman to move to short and opening up third. The Astros, according to sources, are again floating Correa in trade discussions, knowing it is unlikely they will sign him before he reaches free agency at the end of the season. A trade of Carlos Correa.
No, God!
There goes the heart and soul of your organization that I guess James Click has already kissed goodbye in George Springer. I mean, he's as good as a New York Met as I guess anybody ever was. Kind of like, feels like Carlos Beltran just a little bit. Just a little bit. You remember that? And then now floating Carlos Correa's name on the trade market. There goes the mouthpiece of your organization. Literally the one guy that saved you from an embarrassing apology to start the year.
Yeah.
That horrible double apology by Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve and Jim Crane, your owner, doing just a... By the way, they hired a firm to do that. That's another reason why I worry about the Texans hiring a search firm.
Here you go. Here you go.
Like, you're going to have to walk me back off this ledge a lot, buddy. I'm just telling you that right now. I don't like hearing this stuff, honestly. The mouthpiece and the heart and soul of your team, both of those guys, Springer and Correa, could be out.
Man, this is an interesting time in Houston sports right now. It really is. We just talked about it. 3 years ago, or 2018, you were in heaven. Houston sports was in heaven.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about getting rid of two of your, like you said, the heart and soul, or two of the best Astro players that you got.
Yeah. I feel like somebody has like a voodoo doll of the city of Houston, you know?
It's crazy right now. I mean, even after everything with the, you know, the MLB coming down hard on the Astros, they still found a way with this nucleus to get all the way up to the point. They still had a good run in the playoffs. They still played well. They still, you know, kind of lived up to expectations because the players they have on the roster.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, you're talking about getting rid of, or Springer's going to walk, and then you're talking about trading Carrera?
Yeah.
Like, well, what?
And then you're not going to have Justin Verlander next year because he's going to be rehabbing all season from Tommy
John. Yep.
And it's just, you're spending a lot of money for a whole bunch of players that, you know, are getting up in age that won't play, and you don't want to spend the money on guys that you should be spending money on.
Yeah.
To me, George Springer should have been operating under a long-term contract this past season, because 2 years ago he was an MVP candidate for 75% of it before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He did that and more to deserve a long-term deal then. And Carlos Correa, I'd lock him up now. If you offer him $250, $300 million on a long-term deal right now, that to me is the best thing that James Click could do. We're talking about the undoing of Houston sports. Daryl Morey being out as Rockets GM. Bill O'Brien out as Texans GM and as head coach. Like, there's so much uncertainty. I feel like James Klick is being given a pass here because we don't know what this guy's capable of yet. We don't know anything about him. He needs to talk to the media.
you need
to give us the direction of your franchise, buddy.
This set up a whole Houston sports franchise media day.
Yeah.
Everybody meet the same place, bring your mask, and let's just go at it. Any question that Sean needs answered, he's going to ask it.
Let's just make it happen. Meet your front office day.
Meet your front. There it is. That's what we're going to call it. Meet your front office. Meet him.
Oh, man. We need help here, man. All right. Next up on the Big Three.
Big Three at Three. Number two.
The Rockets and DeMarcus Cousins reached a deal yesterday evening. I know you guys, Tyler, didn't get a chance to talk about it. It came down like 5 minutes ago on the show, right?
Yeah, we were signing off and the news broke. So, but hey, you're here and you get to talk about it now, so let the people know.
I'm excited about it, I think. I'm really excited about it for one reason, certainly. It's a one-year deal. It's a very friendly contract for DeMarcus Cousins. For a guy that, tore ACL in his left knee last year, has had a torn quad the year before that. The year before that, he had a ruptured Achilles, and he's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, so the risk-reward here for the Houston Rockets is big. But to me, the bigger story here is Cousins is the depth, but the guy that you got from the Detroit Pistons and Christian Wood on a very team-friendly contract, in my estimation, he's 25 years old, he's an ascending player.
Yeah.
Very skilled big man, can play the five, dribble, shoot the three, rebound, block shots. He can do it all. To me, those two guys, if healthy, if Cousins is healthy in tandem, I think those two guys are going to be not the keys, but a part of the reason why James Harden and the Houston Rockets can still make this thing work. As far as Russell Westbrook goes, I'm not exactly sure on that. He is so cryptic, it just bothers the heck out of me. I can't read the tea leaves with that guy.
When you say make it work, you mean as far as keeping
him
James here?
Keeping
gotcha.
James here.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And I'll qualify it even further, at least for one more legitimate shot at a title. For one more year. I think that's what they've got. I think if you're able to convince James Harden to stay with these players and the direction of this franchise, it's for 1 year. If James doesn't like the direction this organization's going after the 21 season, I think so. It's all in context. It's all how the season goes. Is it going to be another COVID-ridden bubble season?
I'm not sold this is enough to keep him around. Like, to keep make him want to stay. And once a player has made his mind up, like, hey,
bless you. I don't think he's made his mind up. I think you're falling victim to some of the narrative that is surrounding.
Excuse me, I could be. But once he's thought about leaving the organization and going to play with his friends and other places, and once that the sources come out and say, hey, he wants to be here or he's thinking about being there, it's hard. You have to do a lot to keep that guy there, I think. And to bring Cousins, Wood, I think, who's an ascending player, like you mentioned, I think he can be a good piece. He's today's big man, right? He can shoot, he can dribble, he can play low, he can do all that. But Cousins is not going to be enough just because of his history the last 3 years. When he's played with the Warriors, he didn't play with the Lakers. When he played with
the Warriors, he had a good season.
He played well. Yeah. He played well. But that was, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know if that's enough to be like, okay, yeah. We got enough on this team right now to compete with the Lakers, to compete with the Suns, to compete with the Mavericks, to compete with Portland and everybody else, you know?
Almost every soft tissue injury that you fear a guy of that stature to have, he's had. And the Achilles, the torn quad, the ACL.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's ever been a bionic man, it's probably DeMarcus Cousins right now, and he comes back.
Hey, that's the fact, man.
And
man, all the surgeries he's had and the issues he's had, Now, listen, when he plays, he's a beast. Flat out.
Yes.
So the risk reward, like you said, the reward is there if he can stay healthy and he can be himself.
Yeah.
If he can be himself, oh man, you are
in
good
position. The Golden State
Warriors
took that gamble. They paid him $5.3 million for that 1 year. And I can't remember. I think he played maybe like 32, 31, 36 games, something like that. Pretty good production. And if the Rockets can get something like that in a full 82, I don't expect, look, he's not going to play 82, but to be healthy and managed in an 82-game season, if he can play 65 games for you, 25 to 30 minutes a night, that would be amazing.
That'd be a win.
And I think that I can't wait to see what this Rockets ball club looks like, to be honest with you, with the acquisitions of Wood and Cousins, and to see how potentially James Harden's going to play this year without a Russell Westbrook and without an Austin Rivers.
So you think, Austin just signed the New York Knicks, didn't he?
Yep.
Do you think,
is
Russ officially gone?
I don't think he's officially gone, but...
I'm saying, did he come out and say, I don't want to be here? Or is that just still speculation and rumors?
He had the cryptic mess the other day on Instagram. Was it Instagram or Twitter or both, where he was wearing, the Rockets shirt, but the frowny face. And then he's wearing the Rockets shirt, another snap, but he's smiling. You know, it's like you don't know what's to make of it. And there was something of talking about a cap, you know?
Yeah, that was on Harden's, I think, his Instagram. He took a picture of a bottle cap or something and just...
Yeah.
Was that after the Brooklyn rumors? That was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
You have to be, 14 years old and, be in tune with that lingo to, make any sense of this. So, now we've subscribed ourselves to 14 and 15-year-old kids breaking news for us via the Houston Rockets. All right, last one on the Big Three.
Big Three at Three, number three.
Love this guy. I miss this guy. I wish he was still here.
Good guy.
But hashtag CFM has now left the division. He's left the American League. He is a National Leaguer. So that is what I am thankful for this Thanksgiving, is that Charlie effing Morton is now going to be an Atlanta Brave. So the next time the Astros will have to see Charlie effing Morton could potentially be in a 2021 World Series.
Well, I tell you what, the Braves, after the run they had last year, being 3-1 up against the Dodgers, having them, their backs against the wall, the potential world champs, the Dodgers, they're going to be, they're pretty happy right
now. They needed
now.
Him. Pitching fell
they're
off.
They're pretty happy
for them.
Right now.
The offense,
good situation for them.
The offense stopped clicking for them later in that series, but, for a guy who was that close to retiring after another stellar season this year, and Charlie Morton is now making $15 million, $15 million for one year for his services. Yeah, so there's Charlie Morton. Get out of the American League. That's what we're all thankful for this Thanksgiving. At least we should be. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for the show, and Clint Sterner. If you'd like to be a part of it, 713-572-4610. Speaking of being thankful, this Thanksgiving, we're teaming up with the Houston Texans Foundation for Texans Care for Texans. It's presented by Kroger. We have a life-changing goal of feeding 500,000 Houston families this Thanksgiving. It's all through the Houston Food Bank. Just $1. Just $1 provides 3 meals. And you can donate now. You can be a part of it. You can donate now at sportsradio610.com/Texans Care. That's sportsradio610/Texans Care. Thank you for making a difference in our community. Coming up next, is Tim Kelly and the Texans getting a little more comfortable trusting Deshaun Watson to make plays with his feet? We'll ask Cecil next at Sports Radio 610.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
In for on the show, Hughley and Clint Sterner today. I'm Sean Bajani, and he is former Houston Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III. Tyler Milner producing. 713-572-4610, 572-4610, if you'd like to call or text, be a part of the show. So Tim Kelly and the Texans maybe getting a little bit more comfortable trusting Deshaun Watson to make plays with his feet. Tim Kelly met with the media. Here's what he had to say in regards to Deshaun Watson and his terrific run into the end zone this past weekend.
Yeah, he's a freak. He's really, really strong. He's got incredible play strength. You know, you bring up that Buffalo clip, carried a couple guys in yesterday, lowering his shoulder and running the guy over. You know, and again, we talked to him about being smart and, not putting themselves in harm's way. But when he gets close to that goal line, it's hard for him to – say, turn it down and not take advantage of the opportunity to go and score. So yeah, we always talk to him about making sure he's protecting himself. But again, we talked about how great his instincts are, and once he kind of gets in that mode at that part of the field, it's kind of hard to, not trust his instincts. So he's doing a good job not taking unnecessary risks, and he made a great play for us yesterday that really energized the team and got everybody going.
Not taking unnecessary risks, but taking the necessary risks in order to win the game and make plays and just continue to keep the chains moving. And that last statement that I continue to keep the chains moving, I think we've seen more of that in the last couple of weeks from Deshaun Watson, a willingness to, lower the shoulder, put his head down, and run if there's nothing there down the field. make plays with his feet. Everybody knows, and Deshaun Watson knows probably better than anybody else, that he needs to be on the field for this team to be successful and to go forward. Do you feel like what I saw this past weekend and have been seeing the last couple of weeks is the case, Cecil, that Tim Kelly and this Texans offensive staff and maybe even Deshaun himself are getting more comfortable with making plays with his feet?
They ain't got no choice. Because the other feet that are in the backfield aren't making no plays. Like, just, you've been over 100 yards this year in rushing the ball twice.
Yeah.
Like, you're 31st or 32nd in rushing this year. Like, you have no other choice but to lean on number four. Like, he is the guy on offense. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So you have to depend on him to make plays with his feet, whether that's scrambling to find an open receiver. It's not always running, right? Whether it's scrambling or extending the play in the pocket or getting outside the pocket and looking downfield to the open receiver, or if that's, you know, getting a read option or scrambling and running for a first down. But I think he's done an extremely good job. And you can see his growth over the years of being calculated with his risk, mm-hmm. with his risk, right? Because there's times where I remember watching the Browns game two Sundays ago and Myles Garrett is hunting him down. And I'm like, please get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. Get out of bounds. Thank goodness. Like,
yeah.
He's being smart about what he's doing, when to get out, when to slide, when to take that risk. And I think we have to depend on him, to be honest, as far as his feet. Like, everything is centered around Deshaun. Mm-hmm. Everything. The success of the passing game is because of him being able to not only read in the pocket, but get outside of the pocket. You know what I mean? When the pressure comes, get outside the pocket. Extend the play. So I think we have no other choice. I think Tim Kelly doesn't have any other choice. Because right now, we cannot run the ball at all,
right,
for whatever the reason. Whether that's O-line front or scheme or just the backs aren't good enough, whatever the case may be. And I like Duke Johnson a lot. I still think he should get more touches. But it's tough because you have so many – well, now you can't actually. Cause I don't know what Cobb and Steeles are going on, but I want to see him in the slot more. I want to see him used just get a few more touches.
Yeah, we should get the injury report inside the next hour and a half, I think. So we'll keep you abreast of that when we get it. Just looking at the remaining schedule, right? So the Texans are at Detroit on Thanksgiving. They've got the Colts, Bears, Colts again, Bengals, and Titans on the remainder of their schedule this season. Just looking at those opponents, I'm curious as to how long it takes, you know, the tape to get out. Like, and it really depends on what the Texans do Thursday moving forward, right? Because they're not going to be able to run the football, it appears, right?
Correct.
I mean, if you go back to, what was it, two weekends ago when Romeo Crennel was asked the question, I believe it was by John McClain, so why haven't you been able to run the football? And he attributed it to, you know, off-season workouts, not being able to have those like they normally would because of COVID, training camp, not being able to, you know, create the continuity, the camaraderie, the chemistry amongst the line and the backs due to COVID, things like that. How long is it going to take for opponents to figure out that the Texans have essentially been forced to eliminate the run game in all of its effectiveness moving forward? And what they do get accomplished on the ground is going to come via Deshaun Watson. Like, are his days numbered before I feel like somebody just wipes him out if they continue to play the way that they play? And the reason why I ask that is because just looking at the way that teams have adapted to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense this season, mm-hmm. they're not able to do much of anything with play action anymore, mm-hmm. and it's totally affected what they've been able to do offensively. They are struggling to adjust and click, and Jackson, he's kind of becoming exposed yet again in his inability to throw the ball accurately down the field and be a pocket passer.
Yeah, so going back to Jackson, two different guys, right? I think that's why the knock on him coming out was, can he really be a passer? Can he sit in the pocket and make decisions? When you have Deshaun, he can sit there. If you're going to drop eight or if you're going to give him time, he's going to sit back there and be a passer first. So to me, he's a passer that can run, whereas Lamar Jackson is kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He's a runner first that can throw the ball. And I do believe throwing and passing is two different things, right? Throwing mm-hmm. the ball means you can throw. Passing is I'm an accurate passer. I'm throwing to a spot, to a person after I read the coverage going through progression. Like, passing is more than just throwing, if that makes sense.
Right.
But I do think – no, I'm sorry. I don't think it will matter with the last six games. I think teams will be like, okay, we need to make them run the ball. But, every team comes in, we still got to stop the run. Because the Texans are not going to stop running the ball. They're going to get the attempts to run the ball. If it works, they'll run the ball more, mm-hmm. right? So you still have to stop the run if you're the defense. But now, if the running game gets going, now you got to pay attention to that and the pass game. So there's a respect that Deshaun gets. And then once he – I think he's at the level now where Lamar is not there yet. Even though he won MVP last year, he's not there yet. There's not much you can do to stop Deshaun Watson. There's not much you can do to slow him down. He's going to get his, right? If he gets enough touches, enough possessions, he's going to give his team a chance to win. That's just what it is. If it's close, he's going to keep you in the game. He's going to keep it close. So I don't think it'll be like, okay, this is exactly what we can do against Deshaun, because Deshaun can do so much.
Somebody texted in earlier, you know, do you think there's a chance we see rookie season Watson with a new coach? I thought about that question. Do we see rookie season Watson with Tim Kelly right now as an offensive coordinator? As, you know, Watson, look, he just had his fifth straight game with 300-plus yards passing. He's spreading the ball around more than he has in any of the last couple of seasons. And he's making plays with his feet. I mean, this is about as close as we've seen Deshaun Watson to that rookie season version. There was a little bit more of him making plays with his feet. But the reason why I brought up Lamar Jackson in comparison to Deshaun Watson and the Texans' offensive struggles in terms of running the football mm-hmm. is, you mentioned it, the Texans want to run the football. Yeah. I mean, even if they're not successful, they have to be able to at least show a willingness to run. But at what point do you have to almost abandon it because it's costing you drives, it's costing you series? And I think at times this season, look, there have been a few games here, I think four actually, where they've lost games by one score. It's cost you games. At what point do you have to make that decision to just say, all right, look, Deshaun, you got to throw it 45 times and the rest, it's on your legs.
I think it's a way to get around it, right? It's a way to incorporate the quick game, incorporate the screens, incorporate screens to the running backs and the receivers, right? And they're trying to do that. They are trying to get the ball quickly into Will Fuller's hands on different screens. He had a nice play last week, or was a decent play last week against that. They do a decent job with the screens, but there's ways to get the 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 8 yard gains that a run game will get you through the pass. Mm-hmm. But you still have to attempt the run. Like, that's just what you have to do. Now, like I said, if the run game is hitting, then boom, you'll keep at it. And then you can still hit the quick game, and then eventually a play action will work, like you mentioned. Sure. But you have to have attempts in the run. You can't just go into a game and say, okay, we're only going to run the ball 10 times. You can't. And you can't win. I'm sorry. You can't win that way.
Right, yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean,
you can do it.
You can't script that kind of stuff out.
Can't script that out. Like, you need to be able to have rushing and running in your game plan, and hopefully it works. I'm not sure. I haven't watched enough film on the Texans to know if it's the offensive line, if it's the scheme, if it's the back. I'm not sure.
I think that's the most frustrating when you're watching this team, Cecil, is you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to pore over, you know, gobs and gobs of film, you know, to see exactly what the case is. You know, to the layman viewer, to me, I'm at home and I can't figure it out. Like, what's the deal? You know, I think going forward with the next six games, the question that I have is what can be done to rectify and not mask. That's key. Not mask, but rectify what this team has to do between now and the time a new regime comes in to keep this organization's head above water, to see what you've got in terms of needing to rebuild this roster, or maybe even needing to just simply retool this roster. So I'm going to ask you coming up next, what's the jumping off point for the new Texans GM? What would Cecil do? And we'll get to the Tuck rule going to the Buck rule last night. That's next at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a great time, and hope you have a great Thanksgiving Day coming up this week. Glad to be here. It's Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts III in for Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner today. Cecil, you'll be back tomorrow with Adam Spillane. Looking forward to hearing that. My question to you, and I would like you guys to be a part of it as well, 713-572-4610, if you'd like to call or text in, the jumping off point for the new Texans general manager. Said I was going to ask Cecil, and I want to know from your perspective, Cecil, what would be some of the first orders of business for you if you're taking over this football team's operations going forward? If everything is as it is now, the way that the team is currently constructed, you take over at season's end, what are we doing?
Ooh, man. First things first, I'm sitting down with Deshaun. I have to sit down with Deshaun, and I will give him what you're looking for from everybody else in the franchise. I'm going to give him, okay, this is what the plan is. And this is our 3-year plan or 2-year plan or this year's plan on exactly how we're going to fix the cap situation. What are we going to do forward different contracts? I'm gonna give him the spiel because he is the guy that I need to keep happy. He is the franchise. He is everything. He is the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna sit down with him, give him the spiel, let him know we got his back. We're going to win, and I'm making moves from there. But I'm gonna keep him in the loop. And that's one thing I didn't like. I don't know for sure yet, but the trade with DeAndre, I'm not sure. There's no way on God's good earth that OB talked to Deshaun Watson about that trade before doing it.
It appears as he didn't, right? In the scuttle out there that Watson found out after he got done working out in the gym.
I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers and his situation a couple years ago. He had no say into who the head coach was going to be or who the OC was going to be or whatever the case may be. I want to keep this guy happy, so I'm going to keep him in the loop enough. I don't got to tell him everything, but I'm going to let him know, like, hey, this is the plan moving forward. This is how we're going to attack it, and we're looking to win, and you're going to be the centerpiece.
My next question, it would be for him, Deshaun Watson, is are you in? Mm. Are you buying in?
Mm.
Do you like this?
That's big.
You know, yeah, your contract says one thing, but, you know, what's inside the chest, you know, might be feeling another, and what's in between those ears might be thinking another. Are you in?
That's big.
And I go back to this because I always wonder how much outside noise seeps in to the inside. And, you know, after listening to Anthony Weaver and what he'd said last weekend, you know, as he pounded the table, had his guys back, and then they went out and proved it this past weekend in a victory over the Patriots, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And I've got to know the same thing from my quarterback, you know, behind closed doors. If I'm the new guy taking this thing over and I'm being charged to make this work, to not have us go through a rebuild. And there's my other question is, will there be some type of a rebuild, retooling, whatever you want to call it? Who was it that Jeff Luhnow, whenever he first took over as Astros GM, refused to use the word rebuild. I think his whole catchphrase was retool or some other type of verbiage, right? But what is it going to be for this Houston Texans team? Because it already appears as though J.J. Watt is not going to be sitting pat for a rebuild here. He knows how much football he has left, and he wants to use it all for a contender.
They're not going to call it a rebuild. I don't think Kyle wants to call it that. I think that he thinks he can figure out a way to get this team winning on a fast track, if that makes sense. But it's going to need to be a rebuild, because you have to get rid of certain contracts. You have to make decisions on important guys like JJ and others. There's going to be a lot of change needed. And to make that change, to me, it's just a rebuilding process come. Because, I mean, if you look at it, And it's tough to say rebuild without a first-round pick this year or without a second-round pick this year, right? Mm-hmm. So now you got to bank on your scouting department doing well in the third through seventh round, which is you can do well, and you have done well with Justin Reed and others, right? But you have to rebuild to a certain extent. It may not be a full rebuild like the Cleveland Browns or the New York Jets have the Browns did a few years ago or year after year, it seems like, right? Or the Jets will have to do this year. But you are going to have to rebuild something within this franchise. And to me, rebuild comes from, okay, you got to hire a GM. Guess what? You got to find a whole nother head coach. Now you got to find a whole staff after that.
Yes, yes.
And from there, you got to find quality players that fit the culture that this new GM and new head coach are going to come in with. So there is a rebuild coming. Now, how fast the rebuild happens, that's yet to be seen. But there is a rebuild coming.
That's the key question, I guess. 713-572-4610. Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani in for the show, and Clint Sterner. Text message, Cal McNair and Deshaun Watson went to dinner together twice last week to discuss exactly what you just brought up. Yes, that's true. And, you know, I guess as harsh as I was on Cal McNair earlier, I do have to give him credit for doing that, because maybe that in itself, Cecil, is it's an important step. I don't know if it's necessarily the first step that he's taken to take more of a hold of this organization going forward and guide them and ensure that they get the best possible people, the best possible football people around these players to move forward in a positive direction and quickly. But I have to give him credit for doing that. Sitting down with his franchise quarterback and just having him maybe just what do you need? How do you see things here? How are you feeling about everything that's transpired? And just getting his thoughts and picking his brain. I think that's super important. By the same token, though, opposite end of the spectrum, rather, I get this text message. Watson needs to get past a second-round game before he can start telling coaches his opinion. The guy's not done enough to earn that, says one text message.
Don't text in ever again. That was terrible. When the first – I'm sorry. What
– going hear back that, 252?
Yeah, 252. You're tripping right now. I love you, but you're tripping right now. Going back to Kyle, outstanding job. Outstanding job. Twice in a week, that's telling Deshaun, number one, you're committed to me. Number two, you're committed to winning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's big. To take you out, I hope it was Steak 48 or something nice like that. But to take you out to eat, say, hey, listen, this is the plan going forward. This is what we want to do. This is what's going to happen. To keep him in the loop, that's what needs to be done. Right? If you win Deshaun, you win the team.
Mm-hmm.
If you can keep Deshaun, you keep the team. If you lose Deshaun, then trouble comes. Then trouble comes, because Deshaun, whether you know it or not, he has influence on everybody in that building. Everybody on that team, they look to him.
He does, but what about JJ?
No, it's Deshaun's team.
I know it's his team. I mean, certainly it is. But, you know, when you think heart and soul, I guess, would you say?
Nope.
I mean,
nope, it's moving on. This is a different
face.
Type of team. Like I said, in the previous years, when I used to play in Jacksonville in the mid-2000s or whatever, this was a defensive team. Since JJ got drafted, it's a defensive-minded team. They drafted a defensive guy first round for many years, right?
Yeah.
Defensive team, and JJ was the guy. Times have changed now.
Yeah.
He is on the back end. JJ is not the same, and I love JJ. Great teammate, awesome. He's not the same guy he used to be. For example, Cleveland Browns game, when he was choosing the gaps, when he was guessing on certain plays. In the past, he could do that because he will make a big play. He'll make a fumble. He'll swat the ball down. He'll do whatever. Or he could, if he gets beat, he could react to it and still make a play. Now he can't do that no more because of the injuries, him getting older. So with that being said, him or keeping JJ happy is not the main point anymore. It's not on Front Street anymore. Yes, he's done awesome in the community. He'll be forever, ever be a Houston Texan to all of us here, but it's all about Deshaun.
Yeah, you look, as you're going through that, I get criticized all the time in, you know, admittedly, rightfully so, by my own wife for, you know, living in the past too much.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to swallow potentially yet again a guy in J.J. Watt that I think we all assumed would be a Houston Texan from start to the finish of his NFL career might not even end that way. Didn't end that way for Arian Foster. It didn't end that way for Andre Johnson. It didn't end that way for DeAndre Hopkins. These are all guys, Cecil, that I think at some point, they did something at some point in their career that began as a Houston Texan that made you say, this guy's not going anywhere, and they'll never let it happen. And time and time and time and time again, we've been wrong. It's happened. And I think it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of, you know, fans of J.J. Watt, the Houston Texans in particular. And it's just hard for me, I guess, to, like, just forget about the past. But if it means Deshaun Watson, your franchise quarterback, is all on board, then, yes, that's huge.
Right.
Because if he's all on board, I can't fathom that he'd be comfortable with sitting around for 2 to 3 years as this team slowly puts the pieces back together and builds a contender at the end of his 150 some odd million dollar contract that he just signed.
No, totally agree. Now, I say Deshaun is the guy, right? Out of respect and for everything he has done in the past, his Hall of Fame career, the great person and athlete he is, he will be in a conversation with the McNairs and the others about the future. They will give him an option. Hey, we want to keep you. We want you to retire here. This is where we're going. And he'll say yay or nay. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That respect will be there for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he's not the main focus here.
Yeah.
Deshaun is the main focus.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with everything. You can't look past. He'll look funny in any other uniform. I don't want to see JJ in any other uniform, even though it'd be cool to see him in Pittsburgh with his brothers. I don't want to see him.
Although you're going to say as a Packer,
yeah, that too.
Pittsburgh would be cool,
but I don't want to see him in any other uniform, right?
Yeah.
But out of respect, they'll give him, they'll grant him, they'll say, hey, this is where we're going, this is what's going to happen, we want you to be a part, or hey, we don't see you a part of this no more, we're going to move on from you. That conversation will happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Gosh, the Texans had an opportunity to get TJ here in a Texans uniform, and they passed up on it. Yeah. You remember that, but it might work the other way now. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to weigh in, call or text. Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani in for Clint Sterner and the show. So last night, if you didn't catch Tom Brady in the Bucs game, terrific game. They lost 27-24. Tom Brady throws a pick late in the game. He sputtered again, and the offense sputtered at times again, even though, look, they could have been driving there before that pick.
Yeah.
With plenty of time left, plenty of Tom Brady time left, plenty of Patrick Mahomes kind of time left to go down and win that game. But it was a field goal that was kicked at about 2:35 in that game to win it over the Bucs last night. He was a hot topic today, but it wasn't just because of that. It brought back memories of the tuck rule in the snow game when he was a Patriot against the Oakland Raiders back in the day. There was a buck rule last night. If you missed it, it happened in the third quarter. I think it was a 3rd and 15, and Brady goes back to pass, and he's on his own 8-yard line and gets smothered up, and he's trying to go forward with the ball, and it gets knocked out. And the ruling on the field at the time was incomplete pass. They reviewed it. It stays incomplete pass, but people were just going irate on social media last night and again this morning, talking about the buck rule, talking about the referees protecting Tom Brady. Do you think the referees are protecting Tom Brady? And do you think Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are frauds, or are they real contenders in the NFC right now?
Well, to answer your question, yes. And every referee is designed, is the game is set up to protect quarterbacks. And whether they like it or not, they will protect the quarterback.
But it seems that's like just there's what protecting quarterbacks and there's Tom protecting Brady, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady will be protected. That's just what it is. It might be wrong.
Yeah.
It's like they don't know that they're doing it, but they actually are doing it out of respect. Whatever the case may be, they're protected. To me, that was a fumble. I thought it was a fumble. Should have been Rams ball, right? Now, the Rams ended up winning anyways.
Yeah.
We talked about this pre-show.
Even when you
looked
at it in slow motion, though?
I thought it was a fumble. I don't think you get a chance to push it. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't like that. But are they frauds? No. I think Tampa Bay is for real. I still believe in Tampa Bay. This is what they're 7-4 right now, and they're still getting timing and putting things together. Like, they're a good team.
If it started right now, they'd have the first wild card spot out of the NFC.
Like, they're a solid team. It's just, to me, offensively, I don't think he's good at taking shots down the field like Bruce Arians wants him to. And that's what Bruce wants to do all the time, right? I think it has to be more intermediate to quick game and running the ball than going down the field. Play action down the field, yes, but I don't think they need to take that many shots down the field. It just hasn't been working out for them.
Bruce Arians had this to say earlier today about Brady and the Bucs' issues offensively.
I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's just still it's not lack of trust. It's just lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture.
I think that's 100% accurate.
Yes.
Think it comes down to continuity. Myself, you and Tyler were talking about this earlier, and I just said, you have to think, like, you know, I know there was the whole fun kind of conversation, is it Brady's a Belichick, you know, whatever. when you're Tom Brady and you leave a place that you're used to doing something in for 20 years in a row, like it's more than just a routine. It's more than just habit. That is a lifestyle. That is just what you do. That is how you've been programmed with those players, with the scheme, the coaches, everything from your day in and day out process. You go to a new city, you go to a new head coach, and yeah, you brought your boy Rob Gronkowski with you. But it's a continuity thing because you're trying to not necessarily take the Patriot way to Tampa Bay, but you're trying to do something that fits with the talent that you have down there. That's one of the things that attracted Tom Brady to Tampa Bay was the talent that was already in place. Mm-hmm. And they went out and bought some pieces too. They bought some weaponry around him offensively. I just think it's going to take time. I mean, I thought about it before the conclusion of last night's game. Here we are, and people across, you know, the country talking about a 7-3 football team as if they're just, you know, just done. Another man's trash, yeah. You know? And it's like, Tom Brady's still the damn good quarterback. Now, even though he's sputtered at times this year and he's turning the ball over, especially recently, way more than we've seen him in the past, especially New England, I think it's a good football team. I think it can be a dangerous team in the postseason because, let's be honest, that's what he's been built and programmed for the last 20 years is to do that, to play the extra season. So just beware of the Bucs.
I agree, and I think people aren't talking about that. Defense is something nice, too.
Yeah,
defense,
it is.
The defense can play ball. So don't think the Bucs are, because like we talked, it's 7-4, and people are talking like they're, you know, 4-7 or they're struggling. It's just Tom is not, he has 8 picks this year. He had 8 picks all of last year, right?
Yeah.
So Tom is still trying to get the continuity like Coach Arians said, and they're still putting pieces together, but they're gonna be something to reckon with come playoff time.
There's a difference in playing defense for, you know, a bottom 15 quarterback in the league, and then there's playing defense when Tom Brady's your quarterback. That adds a little extra something to it as well. You want to get the ball back in his hands. He's Cecil Shorts the third. Sean Bajani with you. We roll into the 4 o'clock hour. I want to remind you that this Thanksgiving, we are teaming up with the Houston Texans Foundation for Texans Care for Texans. It's presented by Kroger, and we have a huge goal. It's a life-changing goal. It could be for a lot of people, and that's feeding 500,000 Houston families this Thanksgiving. It's all through the Houston Food Bank. Just $1 provides 3 meals, and you can be a part of it with your help, your assistance. You can donate now at sportsradio610.com/Texans Care. That's sportsradio610/Texans Care. I want to thank you in advance for making a difference in our community. Coming up next, it's Football at 4. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.
But I'm going to have to cuss and discuss this thing with him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.